Now, the word of God comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. Our God exists from eternity to eternity. Our God exists from eternity to eternity. God exists eternity to eternity. He is in existence in every second, every moment from eternity to eternity. And according to his dispensation, he reveals himself. And according to his dispensation, he conducts his deeds, his works. So as a creation, those who have been created, whoever fulfills their life to the fullest will be welcome to eternal life in heaven. Who manages their time and fulfills their given time. So our faith is to believe in Jesus Christ. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe, you know, you acknowledge how important it is the time that you believe in Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important than that. So that's why our faith life is now. It's living. It is this very second, this moment, living for your soul, for your spirit, making that imperative decision for your soul. It is now, this second, this very moment that you're living for your spirit, your soul, and you. That is what directs and drives your actions of living. There's just nothing more important than that. So today we're talking about Christians and time. It's Christians and the time. It's the sense of time, the knowledge of time. And so we're talking about now, this moment. Having the sense of time. At this moment, it's just a blink of an eye. This is your present living. It's the present. It's the reality. You know, if you die, you can't refer to now. You only have a past. But if you are alive right now, it is the present. It is living. When your life meets with the flowing time, and this gathering right now, this becomes a part of your life. And this decision that you make right now may determine your result. The decision that you make right now may determine the course of your rest of your life, the eternity of your life. So today we're talking about time. The main topic is time. So when you ask somebody what time is, even scientists and philosophers, they have no clear one answer. True answer to this question, what is time? There's no book that defines time. I mean, there's many theories, many understandings, opinions, but there's really nothing that's tangible enough to show. It's all theories, it's all thoughts. Everybody agrees that the success is measured on how well you manage time, right? So when we're young, people tell us that we have to work on building that spec. Specs. So in Korea, we see these cutthroat traditions. You know, from early on in their young age, they're just dragged around to gain knowledge and advance and go to like those big companies and big name schools. And you get married to that spouse who has that status. And then once you live into your senior ages, you enter into like senior housings, then you live a comfortable life. And you people take that as a measurement of success. And people just spend all their lives doing that. And they don't... And they think that it's just given. They don't... And people, when you grow up, they're... Parents, they hear it all the time. You don't manage your time wisely, you're going to become homeless. And like nowadays, we go out and we preach. It doesn't matter too much, right, what these people say on the streets. But the one thing that they say the most is that they don't have the time. And this is a given golden opportunity and chance, but they don't have a clue what we're talking about. But let's go back to the Bible. What is time? Who made time? When did it all begin? Nobody really knows. So physicists say that they have these theories about the Big Bang, where the time starts. But the Bible teaches us. It says that God created time. God created time on the first day. He created the light, and the first day. It was the first day of creation. He created time. And time is something that is not visible. It's invisible. But with the flow of time, you have a sense of time. So on the first day when God created creation, also in the Bible, not only does it say how it began, but it also talks about the end of the world. So at that time, light is going to be destroyed. Light is going to become darkness. There is going to be no longer any light. So in the Bible, it says that time began with God, and through God, time will end. That is what the Bible says. And us human beings, we live within this time. But when it is all said and done, are we going to be no more? No, that's not the case. When God created man, he created man from the dust of the ground. And if you die, that dust will return to dust and it will be over, right? But God didn't stop there. God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living being, a living spirit. So limited time, the flesh lives. The flesh will go back to dust and it will be no more. But that living being, the breath of life of God, that breath of life was breathed into man, and with no longer flesh might be no more, but your spiritual being, your spiritual presence will live forever, will exist forever. And that is why it seems like you're no longer in the physical realm, but you will be living forever as a spiritual, eternal being. So to live the rest of this spiritual, eternal life remains as a very important question. And it is described early in the chapters of Genesis, how Adam was deceived by the devil, and sin and death, the consequence of sin, has entered into man. And man was all destined to go to eternal fire and hell. The eternal fire, hell. So if you say, you hear people saying going to hell, you see people denying hell. They're saying that this world is already hell. Yes, it is true. Today, more and more we feel it, we see it. And especially with YouTube and these platforms, we see how this world is just turning into a living hell. Every second, every moment around the globe, there is this hell everywhere, but people still strive to live. They want to survive, and they're trying to survive one more day, and they're working. They're doing all sorts of hard work and labor. So now, but once you die, is that it? No, you're spiritual eternal being, because of our ancestor Adam, because of that price of sin, we have to pay the price of sin forever and ever. Where? In hell. And you're going to be tortured. You're going to be tormented. It is why it's called the fire hell, lake of fire of hell. So to give us an idea that the representing temperature is about 6,000 degrees Celsius. So now, when this spiritual being comes back to life and revives, you can't even kill yourself. It is your spiritual body that is living in agony and pain forever and ever. It's just unthinkable. So now God now created Adam, made man into Adam. So giving the desire for a man to long for eternity. Because once you die, if anybody, there's a lot of people who think of the life after this life on earth, and they become religious. There are a lot of people who deny the fact of an afterlife, and then when it's time for them to live, I mean die, and living their last on this earth, they seek God. They seek for eternal life. That is an instinct of man, because God already created us as God created humans as living beings, and that's why we have this desire. This desire. No, to man, everybody has their time, right? Back in the days before the flood, there were people who lived 900, but now, I guess the oldest living. Right now, it's pretty common people living up to 100 years old. But nevertheless, people have a set time of living in this flesh. It's a set time. 17. So Acts 17, 25 to 27, you know, God gives us these set times. And giving us these limits is so that we may seek. Perhaps seek and meet God during this time, this period. That we will seek and we will search for God and to meet God. That was why God gave us these limited times. Now, let's say if the body flesh was living forever and ever, then those living forever flesh will never seek God. But because there was this limitation, everybody realizing that they're running out of time, it will drive them to seek God. And if there is a God, they will have that longing, that desire to live with God and for God. And that is what's recorded in the book of Acts 17, 25, 27. So now, the tragic story is that man committed sin. And man, like even the birds, even the animals of the fields, the wild, they know these things. They see, they sense these things. In this story about elephants, they're returning back to their homeland. And they buried their bones over there, where they were born. So you go to these ivory tomb grounds. It's like a burial ground. And they come back. So these elephants, they know, they sense, and they return back to where they were born. But man, they don't know. They don't know when they're going to die. Until they die that very moment, they do not know when they're breathing their last, right? So that's how much of people, us human beings are. We're limited. We're limited in knowledge and knowing things. And now God called Israel and as his chosen people. And God gave the people of Israel the law. And to those who keep the law, will have a sense. Ecclesiastes 8:5. It says that to those who keep the law will have a sense of knowing the time, the seasons. And so they'll know what the consequences will be. If they do certain things, they will die. So they will have to, in order to remain alive, they had to follow the law. That is why the law was given. And now, with the law, the people of Israel and God, between them, God continues to lead the people to life. He even gives prophets. And to them, he asks, why do you think Pharaoh was destroyed? Because Pharaoh didn't seize that chance. Now, you think, we all think that the Pharaoh was destroyed because of the Exodus, and his heart was hardened, and he was trying to do this and that. But ultimately, what it all boils down to is that he missed that chance, that opportunity. Because in Egypt, there were miraculous signs after one after the other. Now, the Pharaoh, if he acknowledged that God, Jehovah God, is really alive and he is a true living God. And if he sensed this and he came to a realization, then he could have repented and he could have perhaps turned to God and be God. But he lost that chance, that opportunity. That is why he was brought to destruction. So he continues and says, "As if you know why Pharaoh was destroyed, do not miss your chance and repent. Do not miss your chance and repent before it is too late. Repent." So that proclamation, declaration to repent, God is also reminding them to remember. Remember creation, who God is. It says when you're young, in youth, remember. When you're in youth, you when you thought that you could do anything and everything, to remember, to remind yourself that one day you're going to be old, you're going to grow old, you're going to grow weak, and you're not going to be able to possess, you're not going to be able to rule and reign. So until that day comes, you better repent, you better return to and remember the tree of God. And before your body, the body is created from dust, right? Now, dust will return back to dust. So before your body returns to dust, then God demands that we repent. We repent and remember the Creator God. And before that day at large of fear, until that day comes, the prophets were pleading with the people of Israel and declaring and warning them to repent and return. Regardless of this, the Israelites, regardless of all the signs and miraculous wonders that they saw, that they experienced, they grew deaf, numb. And they even killed the prophets. They walked away. They turned away. And to them, they lost their sovereignty. And when they went out to wars, they were defeated and they were captured to other nations, and they were enslaved. They became slaves, and they were tormented. They were, but to them, God always gave them a path to come back. So, King of Basra, the Horus, he was moved and he allowed the Israelites to return. But throughout those years, they lost their sovereignty. They were already mixed with other nations, other foreign God-serving nations. And there was only a small number who was living centered around Jerusalem. And to that day, knowing that God selected the people of Israel as his people, and they had this hope that if we returned and we served Jehovah, Lord, wouldn't a good day come and hopeful day come? And that's why they continued to offer their sacrifices around the Temple of Jerusalem. So now, finally, as the time has come, as the prophets have foretold, the one will come before he comes, you should repent, and that one to come, to appear, was God as the Son of the Father God, in the form of a man. Who was his name? It was Yeshua. And Yeshua appeared before where? Before the temple. And what did he say? Destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. If you destroy this temple, then I'll raise it again in 3 days. Now, Israel, the people already had this pride that they were the chosen people of God. The people of Israel were chosen. And there were many historical events throughout their history. And they saw and they heard and they learned, and it was passed down of the many miraculous signs and wonders. But now in this present hour, at this present point, they really didn't show that much blessing, right? But they still had the hope with the prophecies that the prophets talked about. And they wanted the Temple of Israel, of Jerusalem, to continue to be upright and working. But when Jesus said to destroy this temple, the people were enraged and they were questioning, is God still real? Is God alive? Like, and I mean, it was just unacceptable what Jesus was saying to destroy this temple, because to them the temple was everything. And to destroy this temple and to raise it back in 3 days, I mean, what he was referring to was not the handmade, the man-made, 46-year-made temple, the physical temple, but he was referring to the temple of his body. Everybody say, the temple of his body. No, it is the body of Jesus Christ. It is the body to die, but in 3 days to raise. And that is what he was referring to when he said, destroy this temple, and I was going to die in 3 days. So he is comparing the temple and his body as to be equal. So a lot of people didn't really understand this. And when he said destroy this temple, everybody were enraged. They took it as blasphemy and they plotted to kill him. But Jesus, when he was referring to his death and resurrection, and when he resurrects, that very moment is when God, the eternal God, living from eternity to eternity, is God revealing himself. It is revealing himself on that very day. That is the time of the Son of Man. Son of Man. That is the time of the Son of Man. So Jehovah God is the God of Israel. And there was a covenant with in the body, in the flesh with God. But when Jesus said that I am the Son of Man, I came as the Son of Man. When you say the Son of Man, it means that you're a child of a human being. But in the past, when referred to Jehovah God, he was invisible, but indirectly you heard, you saw the miraculous signs, the wonders you've heard through the lips of the prophets, and his name was Jehovah, and God existed, but you cannot see God with your own eyes. And it'll be revealed by the prophets, by the prophecies. It was all indirect. But still, it is the Creator God. It was the Creator God who was the God of the people of Israel. And they were satisfied with this. And they were proud to be called the people of God, the Creator God. And because they were not able to keep all the laws and the word of God, they were not living as proud to people of God. But they always had the hope. They always had a hope that one day that it will be restored. And they were waiting. They were waiting for the time in their real life, in reality, how God was going to return. But Jesus saying that you're asking for the time of Jehovah. That time is no more. I came. And this is the time, this day of the Son of Man. So let's turn to Luke 20. Let's turn to Luke 20, 17 to 24. Luke 20, 17, Luke 17, 20 to 24. Let's turn to Luke 17, 20 to 24. Once having been asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom will come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with their careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to his disciples, the time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you that he is, or here he is, do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things, and he rejoiced by this generation. So, to 25. Okay, so now this is referring to the day and the time of the Son of Man. So it's saying that he is the Son of Man. Because when he began the public ministry, he started to do many various miraculous signs and wonders that no ordinary person can do. He's raised the dead, he walked on the water. This is something that a man with a body, a human flesh, can never do. Now, who nor was he? He even calmed the seas and the heavy raging waves and the storms. And then who is he? Is he half God and half man? Because in other religions, there are these half men, half God, the figures that they used to worship. So they were questioning, is this some sort of a demigod? Or he's sleeping and living, he's drinking, he's eating. Like, is he this form of God? But Jesus said, he declared that I'm not no half man, half God. I am Son of Man. I am a Son of Man. So when he referred to himself as a Son of Man, it means that his time to time when the mother came with his brothers, in the middle of Jesus preaching, the mother and the brother came and visit, but Jesus now says, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Not my kid. Who is my mother and who is my brother? My blood is not my mother, my brother. Anybody who is from God is my mother and my brother. So he was short when he was saying that he is a Son of Man. You have to be a Son of Man to do the things that he was about to do, and that was his time to do. So when he comes in the body, in the flesh, and starts his ministry, it's called the public ministry, and that is the time of the Son of Man. So for the first comments, let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So in the beginning. This is not the same in the beginning from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Back then, in Genesis is referring to the time where creation, that is the time, beginning of time. Remember that? In the first day, what did he create? He created time. So that beginning of the time that he began, but the time that is referred here in chapter 1, verse 1, is talking about the word that was in the beginning. And that word created all things. So all things were made. Heavens and hell. Heavens and earth and time. Who created time and heavens and earth? It is the word. And when we turn to verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. So the word became flesh. God became flesh. So spirit became flesh. And the one who created time came into time. That he created. Everybody understands this? The one who created time now enters into the time that he created. It is the time when the word became flesh. The flesh. The body of a man. So a person has a time that they are born into this world, and there's a time that they die out of this world. There's a time of birth and a time of death. So everybody, we're living in this clock. You have a biological clock. Now, some people have already lived their entire clock. So pretty much everybody in average, we're probably about halfway or more than half. People are in the last quarter, so last tenth. But it's like, we're all living a biological clock. Now, Jesus Christ coming into this time, and when he has this thing to do in his flesh, we call him the Son of Man. Who is he in essence? He's God. He is the creator who created time itself. He's God himself. God is not physical. He is spiritual. That spiritual God came into a physical body and had a birth, and he was sleeping. He was eating, and finally he was pierced and he bled to death. There were things that he needed to do with his body, and that is when he is referred as the Son of Man. And that is the time of the Son of Man. That time is referred as the time of Son of Man. So now, when he is doing these things in the body and the flesh, and he refers to things that he is to do, when he came to this world, that means that God came to this world. God, the wholeness of God cannot come to this earth. But God chose the Son of Man to be a part that he will reveal of himself. Now, the word was a part of God to be revealed. Now, God in its entirety, the wholeness, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three triune God is one God. The triune God, the Trinity God, the Holy Trinity God cannot reveal himself in its entirety, in the whole, because where did he exist? When did he exist? Where did he exist from? He exists from eternity to eternity. I mean, there was not a single moment that he wasn't exist in existence. Or how is that Almighty God to be revealed to us? It is by the manifestation of the God through the Word, and that was the time of the man, and that was the time of the Son of Man, the Son of God to come and reveal to us. Now, back then we didn't know, but now we do. When he went into the Galilee and the oceans of Galilee, and we went to the Mount of Gethsemane, and we now know that who was walking on this earth. That was the revealed God. God who revealed himself in the time. That means that what that refers to is that the Son of Man had a limited time, had a set time. So when he came, so now is the time to meet God. So Isaiah 55:6, it is the time to meet God. That's when you should seek God. When he is nearby, call on. So when he came in the body, in the flesh, when God came as body flesh, that is the time where you had the chance to find and meet God. When you call him, then you can meet him. So that was the prophecy. That was the prophecy. And there were people who called and met Jesus. The blind man, Bartimaeus, when he was born, He was born as a blind man, but he heard. He heard and he knew, and he heard that Jesus was with the crowds and with the multitude were passing by, and he didn't lose that chance, and he cried out, "The Son of David, mercy!" And he cried out and shouted out and called out to Jesus. He couldn't see, but he heard the call, "Come near," and he went, and then he came before the Lord. And what did Jesus say? He said, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want to see." And your faith had healed, had saved you. Your faith had saved you. And amen. And that moment he opened his eyes. And what was the first thing that he saw? He saw Yeshua Christ. So when he saw Yeshua Christ, the one who calls himself Yeshua Christ was God. He saw God. He saw God who came nearby close and revealed himself. Again, and also, and there was that, the lunatic Corosa, that wild and crazy man. It was nearby the graveyards, and it was a remote area. But Jesus was a man, happened to pass by, and he cried out to Jesus, "You are the Son of God Most High," and asked for mercy, and the demon was cast out. The demon was cast out. But those demons, none of the legion went to the herds of pigs, of 2,000 pigs, and the 2,000 pigs all went off the cliff and died and drowned it. So whenever Jesus Christ is nearby, you call him and you can meet him and he will find you and you can meet him. That's what these people experienced, right? And also the Alabaster Jar, the famous sinner of the town. Now, she heard that Jesus was at a Pharisee's house. So to share a meal over there. So she runs to Jesus as a sinner who can never even dare dream to enter the Pharisees' home. And she just ran to Jesus and just broke the jar and kneeled before Jesus with her tears, with her hair. She's just washing the feet of Jesus and kissing his feet. And Jesus said, when people were condemning her before Jesus, Jesus said, "You see her? Where this gospel is shared. You didn't even care to wash my feet with oil, olive oil, but she prepared this because she's preparing. She's doing this in love because a lot of her sins, all of her sins have been forgiven. And before all this, said, your sins have all been forgiven." And so this woman, this famous woman, seized the chance, the opportunity, and was forgiven. So that was the most one thing that she needed to know. As a sinner, she needed to be forgiven from her sins. And that Jesus, directly with his own words, said that you are forgiven from all your sins. Can you imagine what joy had overwhelmed this woman? Now that moment was seized. That chance was taken. And also a famous story of time, that opportunity, that chance was that moment of the thief. The thief who was crucified on the left and the right of Jesus. Now, nobody knows who's going to die first, but there was one thief said, "Are you the Messiah?" Mockingly, and you know, with your powers, why don't you save us? No, he didn't even entertain that. He ignored him. But on the other side, the thief asked, "Lord, remember me. Your kingdom will come one day, and remember me." And Jesus replied, "You will be tonight in paradise with me." Hallelujah. That was the moment right before he breathed his last breath. He was blessed. Hallelujah. He was able to go to the paradise with Jesus. So with God, the everlasting from eternity to eternity, everlasting God, do not lose that chance, that opportunity meeting with God, with Jesus. Why? Because because of these people's faith to go to hell was changed to go to heaven. Now Jesus, it was time for him to go to Jerusalem. The disciples didn't want him to go. They tried to convince him not to, but it was time for him. And he says that in the third day, it will be complete. In the third day, it will be complete. So he was referring to a time, a specific time, where He was to fulfill his duty, his works on earth as the Son of Man. And he was referring to this very specific time. And that is why he needed to go to Jerusalem. And what was it? It was for the time of his capture and crucifixion. So then what is his purpose? To come here? And as he died, he said that it is finished. Didn't he have to accomplish something more significant? No, it was completed. It was completed as he died on the cross. And when he died, what did he complete? It was the Son of Man's duty. It was the time of Son of Man fulfilled. It was the fulfilled time of the Son of Man as he put his life to death. It was his commission. And it was his duty. It was his purpose. And there was the promise, because if you give your life, the Father God will bring you back to life again. And he gives glory to the Father God, to that word, to that promise. And he condemned the devil, the deceiver. And whoever is deceived by the devil, he showed an example that as he condemned the devil. And it was a verdict set on the cross. And also when he died as a Son of Man, the dichotomy, as he died as a Son of Man, the dichotomy is first when he died as a Son of Man, he completed the time of the Son of Man. But as he died, he spilled his blood. And that blood is the blood of God. And it is the Word that became flesh. It is the Word that became blood. So it is the God who became blood. So therefore it is eternal blood. And that eternal blood was sprinkled to whoever receiving and accepting that blood to receive the life, eternal life. And that is why the blood has been given. So with the death, it was the end of the time of the Son of Man. But with his blood, he welcomes all believers to eternal life. So now he died and he was risen back to life by the Father, and he is ascended in heaven, and he is seated on the throne as the Lamb of God. Seated on the throne as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God means that he bears the mark of being slain early. He bears the mark of being slain early. He's seated on the throne, and he is seated as a Lamb of God. No, don't think of him as the Lamb of God. So when you look at some oil paintings, you see a lamb, like an animal lamb, like seated on the throne. No. Who bears these marks? It is the risen Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead, and he showed his disciples that he once was dead, but now I am alive. And he showed his marks on his hands and his feet and his side. So those were the marks that he died early here, but he resurrected, and this Jesus Christ, who was seated on the throne, ascended in heaven, and from there, from that point on, forever and ever and ever, yesterday, today, and forever, he is the unchanging God, Jesus Christ, seated on the throne. I mean, hallelujah. So now Jesus Christ, look at him. Listen, so it's out of the Father God, the Son God, and the Spirit God, the Trinity God. Now, why did God come as a body? So the Holy Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, God is eternal being. So in that eternal essence, now as a creation cannot live in the essence of living forever, but because of that one persona of God being the Son of Man, now coming into the time that he created and died in that time, and he completed the time, and then he resurrected and he's seated on the throne. Who is he? He is the eternal God who is saying yesterday, today, and forever. So people say that he was about 30 years old, so is this image going to be 30 years old? A 30-year-old, I think that is the most prime time of being 30, so that's probably how he looks right now, but it's been already 2,000 years, so he aged. No, there's no sense of time. There's no night or day or morning. There's no time. That time just freezes. That time becomes forever and ever eternity. So that was the predestined, pre-told. Now, God doesn't have any image, right? He does have no figure because he is spirit. God is spirit. But now God, to die and to resurrect and to be seated on the throne, now he bears an image. He bears a form as the Son of Man. He came and he died and then he rose. With that body, he's living forever. So now that creation, can creation see God? Now we can. The revealed God. Now we can see the revealed God. We can't see any God. We can't. And nobody can really see him by choice, but you have to be chosen. And you can see. You can see. And that is the blood. That is the blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The eternal blood. The blood of God. The holy blood that has been sprinkled to all of us. And if you accepted this blood, say amen. Now, because you have this blood, because you have this blood, you have to maintain this blood. And you, with this blood, you go into heaven, to the third heaven, and you will be with God. That will be forever and ever in that frozen time in life. Do you long for this? Amen. And that is why the three persons of God, he was determined to reveal himself in the triune, the Trinity God. It is hard to know the true meaning of this Trinity God, but he had these separate things to do as the three persons, as the Son of Man, in to reveal to us, to all creation, so that we can go and live with him forever. Everybody understand up to this point? Well, now, not too many days later, he sends his Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit goes to who? It is those who have the blood of Jesus, who believe in Jesus. If you receive the Holy Spirit, say amen. Now, why did the Holy Spirit come into us? Now, if you already have the blood of Jesus, then you have already held. You hold on to the blood of Jesus, which is the requirement. You have, it is the right to go to heaven. It is right to go to the time, everlasting time with Jesus together. But because you didn't make it yet, you're still here living in this earth. Who is in this earth as well? There is the devil. The devil was a created being as well and is limited. But that devil wanted to raise his throne to God. He wanted to become like God and he deceived himself. And that devil is here to this day and he is tricking all, everyone. To those unbelievers, he deceived them to deny the spiritual realm, God's existence. And even those who believe in Jesus, who says that they believe in Jesus, the devil deceives them so that they are not sure and not clear what to live for, what to do as they live in this body, in this flesh, in this time. They are confused. They are clueless. They do not know what to live for. They don't. So if they're good, they'll come to the Church of Jesus, to any church on Sunday as a Sunday Christian and do tithes, but they don't know what this is without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will come and teach us what you need to take time as a Christian. What is the true meaning of time? What does time mean to you? What is the most important commodity of a Christian? Yes, it is faith, but not money. What faith? Faith, what type of faith? It is knowing that you are spirit. You are spirit. Knowing that I am spirit. I am spirit. And I, the spirit, what do you contain? You have the blood of Jesus. Do you really have the blood of Jesus? Did you receive the blood of Jesus? This is so very important. This is imperative. You go to church for tens and tens of years, decades of years. What third generation of a daughter of an elder? No, you have to ask yourself, do you have the blood of Jesus? Because if you don't, you're going to go to where? Along with the devil, you're going to go to death. You're going to go to hell. But if you have the blood of Jesus, now you hold, you bear the right to go to heaven. But that doesn't mean that you made it there yet, because this world has a deceiving soul. The demons, the demonic forces, trying to make you waste your time, going to trick you, deceive you, so you won't live for this. But the Holy Spirit comes here. The Holy Spirit comes here to remind us that we are in the course of going to the Father's house. It's already been done for you. Now you have to manage your time. Manage your time. Then how do you manage your time? Right now, this hour, this moment, right now is a time to receive grace. It is a time of salvation. It is a time of salvation. Time of grace. You are not going to go to heaven or hell because of who you are, your family tree, your line. No, it is those who receive the blood of Jesus. It doesn't matter who your ancestors are. As long as you believe and you receive the blood of Jesus, then you can be saved. So behold, it is a time of grace, a time of salvation. You have to know why. So it is time for you to receive grace, then seize the opportunity, seize the chance. If it is time that you're going to be saved, then seize the chance to be saved. Amen, hallelujah. So Romans 13, Paul says, you have to know this time. And you got to know, you have to have a sense of this time. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is near now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immoralities and debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Because now it's time. You got to know what this last hour is like. Time is that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. He is coming back soon. Not only that, before he comes, in my case, I don't know who's going to come first or go first. I'm in that last corner. You think that's only the case for me? No, I see myself in you like just yesterday. Yes, I still have this energy, this power that I'm preaching is... When I'm all by myself, because I'm in this old age, you know, all by myself, you know, I feel kind of like, I feel drained. But even in moments of that, what I wake up that this is not an hour for me to be lazy or depleted out. No, Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I'm running out of time. Then what am I going to do? And every minute, every second that is given to me, how am I going to live for the salvation of my soul? And also for those, in addition to my soul, what about the souls that have been given to me? And that is why the Holy Spirit is here with me. And that is why we're coming to church and do the sermons. We are being moved. Really, is that true? People think that I'm eating something fantastic to have this energy. No, I don't have I don't have this energy in me anymore. But when I think about the ticking time, that I'm running out of time. Now, I received grace when I was 40 years old. When I was 40 years old, yes, I was given this healing. So I couldn't really sense the ailments of my body anymore, right? But now I feel senses after senses, and it is uncomfortable. It is depleting. It is leaking energy, but I can't be depressed because of that. I can't be dormant because of that. But I have to move. There's just no time for me to waste at all for this body, for perishing things. No, it's time to wake up from your slumber. We have to be on alert. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 is going to be coming as the time of a thief. They go to YouTube. There's people who are like trying to decipher the time. No, right? It's any time, any minute. We are living in these last times. Any time, any minute. It's time of, as it will come as a time of a thief. Just like labor strikes, a pregnant woman. Because you are the children of light, you gotta be alive. You have to stay alive and awake. And I pray that we will all be aware of these hours. I bless you to be awake. Now look around you. See what this world is heading to. In these last days, these are the last days. There's almost nothing left to see because we already seen the worst of it all. Could be any moment now. We are living in these last hours. So you know the time. Now, number two is you have to seize that holy spiritual moments and opportunities and chances. Like people of the world says that you have about three chances, right? three chances to be successful, but the spiritual chances is not always the case either. When the providence comes, even if it is overwhelming, if the providence is asking for your time, for your physical and your energy, and it is calling you, and you fulfill the providence, even if it means that it's not fair, even if it means that you might die starving, in starvation, even if you die, you fulfill the providence. And the disciples are all like that. They all left behind their workplaces, their family, and their boats, and their workplaces, and they just follow Jesus. And when they fulfill the providence, when Jesus comes back, they will meet Jesus up in heaven at the banquet. So you got to seize the opportunity, the chances of blessing. Now, Jacob and Esau, so they're twins, and the birthright went to Esau. And Jacob, every second, every moment, he wanted to regain that birthright, and he bought it, he prepared for the lentil stew to fulfill and satisfy Esau as an exchange for the birthright. And Esau didn't care enough for the birthright, and he easily exchanged it for a bowl of soup. And then eventually, finally, he was even blessed by Isaac, and that is where the Israel and the Palestinians and how that whole divide came. And to this day, we see how the Israelites are living in such riches. You know, they have financial power, economical, and but that was that seized moment of opportunity to be blessed that he seized. So now God says, do not worry about tomorrow. What you're going to eat or drink, what are you going to do? Total of a day is enough. You're living this day, just day after day. Nobody knows if you're going to live another. And there was a parable of that son and a father. There was a parable of that rich man who was storing up, and they were expanding in storage. And when God said, if I take your soul today, if I take your soul, I, the soul, the spirit, listen, spirit, what are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? Do not worry about the things, because your spirit will be fed. The birds and birds are fed. And you think so-called child of God, you think you have to worry about what you're going to eat? No. Does that mean that you don't have to work for your bread? And no, it says in the Bible that you have to work. You have to work. But it is guaranteed. It is guaranteed if you need to choose God. And you don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. But there's something that you have to do today. You don't push it back to tomorrow. You never delay it. Because you never know if you're going to have a tomorrow. So whatever is given to you today, then you do it today. If you don't, then you're going to be called evil and lazy. You're given this opportunity to repent. You there's so many things that you have to repent. So I'm going to repent later down the road. You know, right now I don't have the time to. There's really none. I haven't collected that much garbage and waste to repent. So I'm going to just throw it all away when it's all filled to the brim. No. The Bible says, until the sun goes down, you got to get rid of all the things that you have to repent. Don't let it continue on to the next morning. You repent when you are given this chance. You don't want to see consciousness. If you have a shared consciousness, you're going to be hypocritical. You're going to be deceiving. You're going to be lying. And you're going to lose. You're going to leave the first love, and you're going to go end up in hell. So every moment, every second, anything that comes to my mind, I'm repenting. Why did I think this? Why did I do that? Why did I think this and that? I'm surprised myself, and I repent. Sometimes I even pound on my own head. You think that I'm extreme and always walking in this faith? Well, because I need to live. I need to live, and I want my God to recognize. I want Father to see me, how I'm living the faith. Now, if there's anything that you promised, that you have devoted, if there's anything that you have devoted and dedicated, then don't delay it. You have to fulfill it as soon as you can, as soon as possible. Because if you delay, then it's a sin. And also, around the saints, among the saints. Now, if there's any quarrel between the saints and if in Luke 12:58, it says, if you have anybody that you have quarrels against, you try to resolve it to the best you can. So when you file a complaint against somebody, you're pressing charges on your way to court, you try to resolve things. Resolve amicably the matters. Because if you don't, then you're a sinner. So church life, spiritual life, loving your brothers and sisters, it's all a matter of time. It's all a matter of time. So you do not lose that opportunity, that chance. Don't delay. And ask for each other's forgiveness. Forgive them. Forgive them. And that's only how you're going to be called not the evil and wicked and wicked and lazy servant. So that is why today, call this day. Today, we should always, on this day, it's not referring to today, it's calling this day. It is the day that is living right now. It is reality. It is what we're talking about today and this day, you think, this moment, it is more specific. It is more specific. It is more clear out of the 24 hours of a day. This moment, when we're talking about this moment, is specific. And to the disciples of Jesus, when he called, leave your nets and follow me, they followed immediately. When he calls, you follow immediately. There's no hesitation. If it is the word of the Lord, you listen to it, you hear it, you obey it. You don't delay. You don't postpone it. That's all unbelief. That is all disbelief. That is unfaithfulness. Because we do not have time. Amen? Amen. So Ephesians 4:6, it says, do not have this rage in your heart overnight before the sun sets. You have to resolve any type of rage, any type of hate in your heart. So every second, every moment of our lives, you got to think about what you are living for. You can't be living the entire day just clueless, and then right before you sleep, you're thinking, no. It's every second, every moment, this moment. Because you don't know if you're going to have time to even pray and repent before you go to sleep. No, it should be a moment after moment that we're living. This time, this moment that we're living. We don't know. We have no guarantee that we're going to live the next minutes or hours. So what did I say with faith life is? It is to have the finest decision in every moment, every given moment, to making that greatest decision and bring it to deeds and your actions as the blessed. I bless you all. So as Christians, we got to manage our time and be successful in our managing of our times. Hallelujah. Let's pray.